This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This DPHRO and Rothenberg.
Adam Schefter is reporting that Joe Judge has been fired.
This was the only move that the Giants could have made here.
I felt like it was inevitable.
It was about the optics of the situation.
I can tell you, we got more players here who are going to be free agents next year begging to come back. I know that.
And it got to the point where it's untenable for ownership.
The Giants are in the market for a GM, for a head coach, and for the first time in years, it feels like maybe the Giants are heading in the right direction.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
Well, that's the news of the day, the big 6 o'clock hour. DPHRO and Rothenberg with you. Obviously, this is going to dominate New York sports talk for probably a couple days, I would think. Knicks with a... It's an important game for the Knicks tonight. Because now you see this, our old buddy, Kristaps Porzingis, will not be playing for the Mavericks in this game tonight.
Well, this is an important game for Julius Randle.
Julius Randle feels like, it almost feels like Joe Judge-like. Like, all you have to do is just be quiet, mind your own business, and you know, do your job, and he can't help himself.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like this is going away anytime soon with him, after what I watched yesterday.
But why would he, I don't understand why anybody would ever incite the New York fan base.
Well, because I think he's upset that he's been, and again, it's tough now. I could only imagine if I was playing when there was Twitter and everything else to turn it off. So, I mean, it's your friends, your family, it's you. You're checking your Twitter. You're reading some of the stuff that you're reading. And then on top of that, you're getting booed at Madison Square Garden. And he feels like that he's built up some equity with the fan base because of how well he played last season.
And he did. He built up equity. He hasn't been bad for four games. For the most part, he's been bad for the entire season.
No, I know. But here's the thing, though, Dave. As a player, That's your mindset, and you don't realize that. Like, some guys will realize that real early on, like Derek Jeter's, Eli, like those guys. There are a lot of guys that just doesn't bother them. They could care less. Like they go out and they play, and they realize that, you know, when they play well, the fans will love them. When they don't, especially here in New York, they're going to hear it. And there are other guys that it bothers a lot. Like, I mean, I used to always think too, like, oh, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to play hurt. Guess what? If you're out there playing, they don't care if you're hurt or not.
Nobody cares.
If you stink, you stink, and they're going to let you know you stink. So he's got to get over that. Because, I mean,
doesn't
last
sound like
year
that's
was
on the horizon, though. Doesn't sound like he's going to get over this. Sounds like this is his way. If you're going to boo me, we're going to have a battle on our hands.
Well, I told you, though, watching that game, it wasn't just the thumbs down. You watching that game, it came, like, that was the crescendo, was the thumbs down. Like, he was screaming at, it wasn't like, you know, when you make a great play and, you know, you kind of mean mug and it's like you're talking to yourself. Like, he was MFing the crowd. Like, he was going after the crowd, and then it eventually turned into him giving you the thumbs down, shut the bleep up. But he feels a way about it. And until he realizes it's not about what you did last year. It's not about what you did last game. It's about what you do tonight and the night after. Because no one had any expectations for that team last year.
You have some equity. Like, there was some equity built in there. It's not like his first game they were all over him. This took a while to build up and have the fans become frustrated with him. Let's take a listen. We'll get back to the Giants in a second. 1-800-919-3776. Let's take a listen to Julius Randle. He was asked about his Instagram post addressing the New York Knicks fans.
Your Instagram post was obviously heartfelt. So, you know, what led to you wanting to put that out there on Instagram?
I just felt like I need to address certain stuff that was said or whatever it was.
Were you surprised at all by the backlash?
I already addressed it.
It's not going to go well.
No, he didn't want to. I mean, what he just told you was he was not sorry. He didn't want to release the statement. Like, he was advised to release the statement.
You think he was pushed in that direction?
Yeah, absolutely.
You better put something out there because the fans are going to turn on you totally?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which was the right move, although somebody should have looked at the statement and yep, said, just say I'm sorry.
I mean, that's all you got to do. Just about wear it. Own it.
He can't, though. See, he's stubborn. I'm stubborn like this, too. If I really mess up, but I don't believe I messed up, I won't say I'm really sorry. I'll say I'm sorry you feel like this.
Uh-oh. No, we know. Yeah, we know. Here's the thing, though. Let me explain something to you. The genesis of why athletes get so upset when they get booed in their own building is because the fans don't see all the work that you put in going into the game. And I know they don't want to hear that because it's all about, you know, it's a results-oriented business. But there's so much time and effort that go into getting yourself ready to play that game that as an athlete, you feel like you deserve the benefit of the doubt, especially ones that, like a Julius Randle that you know puts in the work. Like that guy, it's not a lack of effort for him not having success. So he would appreciate it if the fan base recognized that, but the reality is, and someone needs to sit him down and tell him this, is it doesn't.
It's a results-oriented business. You could spend 22 hours a night in the gym, and if you go out there and you're 1 of 7 for 2 points, you're going to get wrecked. That's the way it goes, especially when you're considered the star player on the team.
Yeah, and expectations have changed. I mean, you went from a guy who, I mean, let's be honest, a lot of Knicks fans up until last year were ready to get rid of. They were. And then, I mean, you changed everyone's mind. You had an unbelievable season. You're most improved. You're a second team All-NBA. You're an All-Star. And your team was supposed to be better this year. And I know the record's the same, but it doesn't look like they're better.
It doesn't feel like you're the same team this year as opposed to last. Time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We go back into the Giants and their calls and 1-800-919-3776. Lonnie in Harlem. Good morning, Lonnie. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, family. Dave, I know you were pretty excited when the news came out. Listen, I was pretty excited, too. I try not to call for people's jobs, but Gettleman needed to go. That was just obvious. And so did Judge. I mean, his 11-minute speech or spiel is the reason why he is not here. I mean, the second and third down decision was also, I mean, I'm sure was a major determining factor as well. So, like I said, I'm pretty happy. I don't call for people's jobs, but I just want the Giants to get things going. Like, it's funny because I'm a fan. The Super Bowl that they won, the first one when they beat the Patriots, I watched that game outside of the Empire State Building because I had just got off of work and I knew I wasn't going to make it home. So I'm a fan. Like, I stood outside in the pool and watched that entire game. So, you know, it seems like what we've been going through, I don't want to see that. So
I'm just you couldn't get into a bar, Lonnie? You couldn't walk inside somewhere?
I didn't really want to go inside, so I just stood outside the whole time. And plus, the fact that the game was going so good, you know, you don't want to jinx stuff.
Oh, I get you.
So I just stood outside the entire time, freezing my butt off. It's crazy because some guy was trying to sell me a mixtape. You know, it was to the point when they started winning. They was like, you know what, listen, give me the music. I just want to listen because listen, Dave, people like me and you, we just want to see the Giants do good. And the fact that they were doing so terrible for the last 10 years, it's god awful. The offense is god awful. The defense was decent last year, has been terrible this year. So
they're awful, Lonnie. And thanks for the call. We love you. Yes. You know that. They really are an embarrassment. I mean, again, we discussed it. They right now, through 18 weeks of the season, 17 games, I know they pick fifth. I think the Giants had the worst season in the entire NFL.
I don't disagree with you at all, especially late on in the season. I mean, the 6 straight losses by double digits.
It's the first time it's ever happened in franchise history.
I mean, and here's the other thing, though, too. I mean, your owner came out before the season started and talked about, you know, taking steps in the right direction, playing meaningful football in December. Joe Judge's teams were 1-7 in December.
Oof.
1-7.
What was the final 2 minutes of the first half? Was it 79-0?
It was an embarrassment.
You can watch football for the next 100 years. I don't think you'll ever see a number like that again.
No. I mean, Dave, he's 10-23 and 15 of the 23 losses. 15 of the 23 losses were by double digits. I mean, that's... I don't know, and I know there's a bunch of different things that you could, if you're Joe Judge, point to as to why you didn't have success. But, I mean, Lonnie said you don't call for people's jobs. I don't know how much he wanted the job the way he was acting. And we always feel bad for coaches. Like, I'm not calling. Like, no problem in calling for a player to get traded or cut. But, you know, God forbid a coach gets fired when he's got 3 more years of guaranteed money. And he can sit back and do nothing. He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid to do nothing for the next 3 years.
And he's going to work again. And he's a young guy. And I mean, let's be fair about it. Is he deserving of the job?
No.
Did he do a job well enough that you say, yes, you need to keep him for year 3? The goal was not to get rid of this guy.
Dave, if there was a qualified GM that they liked, that thought that Joe Judge was going to be a great coach, I mean, that may have swayed their decision. Like, if they picked up the phone and called a bunch of these GM candidates and said, hey, you know, how would you feel about keeping
Joe Judge?
And
they said, you know, don't fire him yet.
Yes.
Because we think there's some real value there that's untapped potential. You think he'd be gone?
No, he wouldn't be. But again, it goes back to what we talked about in the first hour. I mean, there's so much that goes into decisions like this. This guy's the face of your franchise. Like, the GM isn't the face of your franchise. The coach is the face of your franchise. What do you stand for as an organization? And unfortunately, Joe Judge has turned into, he's a meme. That's what he is. That's what he's turned himself into. He's a laughingstock. He's a clown. Like, all those things he talked about in his 11-minute answer, we're not a clown show. Well, you turned yourself into one with that answer and then what you did against the Washington football team. That's how people look at you right now.
Well, you know what? If that's your resume, then that's what you are. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DPHR Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's go to Edgar in the Bronx. Good morning, Edgar. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. I would love to see the Giants hire Lewis Riddick to be the GM, because look what Lynch is doing in San Francisco. He's been the booth for all those years at Fox, and then now look, he led the Niners to a Super Bowl, and they're back in the playoffs again. And for a coach, I would love to see Jim Caldwell, because look what he did with Detroit until they screwed him over. Detroit is a horrible franchise, and he led them to a playoff, even though they lost. And one last thing before I go, just 15 more days until World Cup qualifying resumes. Go
yes.
USA. Thanks for the call, guys.
Oh, Edgar, you're reading my mind. Just 15 more days to World Cup qualifying gets back going. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Who's the U.S. have next up?
I was playing some Mario soccer with Milo yesterday. He calls it football, though. It's football. He can't say it's not soccer. It's football, Dad.
Really?
So yeah,
he's a bougie soccer guy.
He's very
really
very proper.
Does it when you shoot it in the corners, like, that's the old onion bag?
I actually taught him that. I said, you know what that's called? He said, what? I said, it's the onion bag. He's like, that's no, right. It's not. I'm like, I'm telling you.
And who taught you that?
I said, Uncle Dave taught me.
Uh-huh.
That it's the onion bag. He thought it was hilarious.
Well, hilarious.
This is stuff
or
you
not.
Learn on the show. This is the stuff that you learn on the show. This is what you learn.
I'm told next up, El Salvador.
Ooh.
Yeah. The big rivals.
You know what? But, Dave, in all honesty, with this whole Joe Judge thing, right? Like, I mean, any former coach or current coach that I talk to that's a head coach, they always, like, I'll talk to Torts. Every time I do, you know, the hockey stuff with Torts, I always pick his brain. And, you know, a lot of what we've talked about, because I'm obviously interested in coaching, is like, hey, he's like, Rick, you wouldn't believe when you become a head coach, like, you know, how important your staff is, because I'm not really as hands-on as I would be, because I got all these different things I'm dealing with. So I'm putting a lot of trust into the people I hire, and I hire the best people I know, and I let them do their jobs. Where, like, I set the tone for what we're trying to accomplish, and then they do their jobs. So, I mean, ultimately, you're the CEO. But it's in any business, right? Like, even if you're, like, Joe Judge wasn't good at his job, but say you're a CEO of a big company and you're great at your job, but all of a sudden you do a couple things that embarrasses the company. Like, well, if the face of my company is now looked at as an embarrassment and as a clown, I can't.
No, you're not going to.
I can't keep that.
Ride with him.
It's affecting my product. It's affecting my ability.
And look, I mean, you had half the stadium was empty, and the other half was embarrassed and booing and horrified.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Two seasons under Joe Judge. You ready for this, Rick? This is
special.
This is really unbelievable. Wins, losses, 10-23. That's tied for 27th in the NFL. That's not so bad. Offensive points per game, 15.6, last. Offensive efficiency, 31.7, last. Yards per play, 4.8, last. TD per drive percentage, 14%, last. Points per drive, 1.5 points per drive. Where does that rank, you ask? Last. That's an abomination. Is what the Giants were under Joe Judge.
No, it absolutely was. And I think I'm doing the math right. So I think it was in their last 47 offensive drives, they scored two touchdowns, I think.
Sounds right.
I mean it's the last six games. I mean, even if you kept in the 14 points, the meaningless points they scored
against
the Chargers.
But that was another one of his embarrassing moments, remember? Where he's
remember.
You know what? We fought all the way to the end, and we saw some good signs at the end of that game. You were down like 37-3 at the end of the game.
Yeah, because he looks in their eyes and he can see by, you know, how engaged they are, how much they believe by looking in their eyes. So, I mean, even if you gave them the 56 points, that's still, I mean, that's just over 9 points. That's 9.3 points a game. And if you minus those meaningless points, I mean, that's 42 points in six games. That's 7 points a game. In a sport where all the rules have been changed, so there's more offense, there's more scoring. I mean,
bad.
It's as bad as it possibly can be on the offensive side of the ball for this team. And I think that was part of the reason why they felt like Joe Judge was going to need to go. Because, again, it's how am I bringing in a coach? Like, I need a new offensive coordinator, somebody that's good, because it has to change in a hurry. Who's signing up to be on Joe Judge's coaching staff right now that's qualified?
Nobody. It's career suicide. So you go in there, you're the next offensive coordinator. Now, he's on the hot seat right away. He gets fired. What happens to you? You're now gone after a year?
Yes.
With this guy?
That's exactly
what's
going to happen.
What kind of a young, bright offensive mind wants that?
Nobody. And
nobody.
That's part of the problem. It's like you can, like, as much as if you were, like, if John Mara was, like, you know, I'm this dysfunction has to stop. This, you know, every 2 years, you know, firing a coach and trying to find a new coach, it has to stop. You know, let's give this one more go. And you sit down and realize, there's no way we can. We can't. It doesn't make sense.
I think they wanted to keep him.
I
think bottom line, I think they would have liked to keep him. I think they realized they couldn't.
Exactly.
And they made the right decision. And that's the bottom line. Guests on this show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Goodyear knows the passion it takes to drive every game forward, whether your team's home or away, the traditions that bring us together. Those are still the same. That's the road that moves us, Goodyear. More driven. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phones. Matt, Connecticut. Good morning, Matt. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. What's up? Real quick before I get to my point, the Price is Right is coming around our area, the New York, Connecticut, New Jersey area. Yeah. The live show mid-February. Check it out.
Oh, I mean, we have to try to get Santiago on the show.
Yep.
I got
Price is Right
research.
Guy. I'll say -299.
You guys talk. I'm gonna do some research here. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was just wanted to point something out and then ask you guys a question. I heard on Greeny yesterday. He made a good point before Judge was fired. He was like, if Joe Judge was not the quarterback of the New York Giants, would there be any NFL team that would have any interest in Joe Judge being their coach? And the obvious answer is no. So that's just pretty much gave Mara the answer, you know. And then the question I have is about Brian Flores. I like him. I like what he's done in Miami, but didn't he get pushed out because he wasn't very fond of Tua? So would he want to come to New York with Daniel Jones? I mean, I feel like Tua is more along.
Yeah, but I don't know if it was
Jones.
Matt, I think it was, there was a disconnect between him and the GM, I think, and some of the decisions that the GM made. Like, I initially thought it was Stephen Ross that wanted Tua. I mean, they ended up keeping Chris Greer on. So, I mean, he made the pick. He signed off on it. But, I mean, I think you could tell from the very start that with how they handled Tua, that Brian Flores was not a big fan of that.
No, I don't think he ever wanted him. I think that was kind of forced upon by Chris Greer. It's amazing to me, by the way, that the GM pushes for Tua. They let Herbert go by. Clearly a mistake, even if Tua is going to be a decent NFL quarterback, and the head coach gets fired.
Well, and then they trade up. Actually, remember that, too. They traded a first-round pick to go up and get Waddle.
Waddle, yeah. Which, in retrospect, doesn't look great, but okay. At least Waddle's a star.
All right. So, Dave, let's go Colombo style. Now start connecting the dots. Why does Chris Greer still have his job?
He's got a relationship with Ross.
Because he does the owner's bidding. Owner wants Tua. Okay, we'll draft Tua.
Oh, God.
When the guy you hired as your football guy, Brian Flores, is telling you, no, this is not what we want.
He's going to get another job, though. He won't be unemployed for long.
Oh, in a second. Look what he did against Belichick.
They swept him this year, yeah.
Dave, now he's 4-2 against Belichick. If I'm Robert Saleh, I pick up the phone immediately and say, hey, Brian, listen, if you don't get a head coaching job this cycle, please, I'm begging you, be our defensive coordinator.
You would
I'm
lose your mind you. If they did that.
Begging you.
Yeah, that would be unbelievable. Paul in Brooklyn. Paul, you're on 98.7 ESPN, buddy.
Hi, guys. It's a long time listener of the show, you guys, when you were before. But I'm not a Giants fan, but I come from a family of Giants fans. What I want to know is, when you're in a team, it's like a family. Why didn't the players, if the culture was so great, why didn't the players ever come to Judge's defense and say, it's not like that, guys, we're really moving forward? They never had faith in him from the beginning, and it showed. And that team is a mess. They need so many changes. It's not even funny. Like, I don't even know where to start with the Giants. Like, they are fighting an uphill battle. This is probably multiple years fixed. Like, beyond multiple years.
No. Yeah, see, I don't know about that.
I don't know what you guys
Paul, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Beyond guys, multiple years, no.
I think the guys did buy in early on. I mean,
how could you buy it? The guy went 10-23.
No, I'm saying it, but initially, I think the guys
year
bought
one
in
they bought in, and I thought he started to lose some of that luster in year two.
Well, I was gone by the end of the season. Gone.
You completely heard Jay Glazer's report. He said he completely lost the locker room.
I'll tell you what, though, Dave. And you say he's going to get another job. He probably does get another job, but in the coaching profession, and you see that, I think it frustrates people a lot of times, though, how these coaches get recycled because of relationships and everything else. Him taking shots at other coaches and other teams was a bad career move, was a terrible career move.
I don't know. I don't know why. What is the point of doing that?
Because I was speaking to the player. He was speaking to ownership. Like he's trying to reassure John Mara that all the things that he promised that he would do are being done.
Yeah, but that's a bad look. And
if
we talk about that, we talk about it all the time, right? The Giants are a classy, you know, do the right thing organization. You think that John Mara heard him taking shots at Ron Rivera and thought, oh, this is what we're looking for with the Giants?
No.
No.
And then do what you did against them? No. No, I mean, you're trusting that this guy is going to, I mean, he's going to represent you the right way. So when times get tough and you're backed up against the wall, this is how you're going to react to those situations? By lashing out at everybody and making a fool out of yourself?
It was like a child. Like if Milo did that, you'd be like, yeah, I mean, listen, he's six. That makes sense.
Yeah, but it was so transparent what he was trying to do. It was an epic fail. All he had to do was keep his mouth shut and keep his head down. And then he could have, I mean, he could have had a 30-minute meeting where all he did was talk about all the reasons why there was no chance this thing was going to be successful with how they handled it.
And I think that's fair. Like, Dave Gettleman did such an awful job that he made it probably nearly impossible for Joe Judge to succeed. And Joe Judge took the reins and said, watch how I end this thing. And they had no choice but to move on.
Yeah, I mean, Dave Gettleman, I mean, he's sticking me with Jason Garrett, which is something that ownership wanted. So I did you a solid. I had Jason Garrett. We saw how that worked out. Quarterbacks always hurt. Kenny Galladay's been hurt. Saquon
we built
Barkley's
for the future, right? I have two top seven picks this coming draft.
I mean, you name it. Like he had that. There were plenty of reasons why he could have. I mean, that he could have sold to ownership as to why this thing was as bad as it was.
But he really messed up. He really
up
played
time.
His hand very, very poorly. All right, 1-800-919-3776. You need the number because, well, today's Wednesday. And Wednesdays at 6:45, we do a little segment called Stump Rothenberg, where you can ask me a question on anything trivia-wise, and typically I get it right, and we move on, and we celebrate the genius that is me. 1-800-919-3776. 919-3776. So we'll get there at 6:45. More of your Giants calls before that. Very busy Wednesday leading into the Rick-led Open on Thursday with some wakey-wakey eggs and bakey. So there's just so much going on. It's really...
Admit you liked it. Admit when you opened the show with it, it made you feel good you liked it.
I didn't feel either way about it. Like, no, I didn't dislike it. I didn't love.
I could hear it in your voice. You liked it. Nothing better. Like, you wake up.
You know, I'm in a good mood today, so I will say I more liked it than didn't like it.
Yeah, but just think about that. I mean, you close your eyes, you say it. What's better? You wake up in the morning, and you're like, oh, my, what is that delicious smell? And
yeah,
you realize that somebody's bacon. Already making you eggs and bacon in the kitchen. You're like, now this is how I like to start my morning.
And I wouldn't even know how to make bacon. How would you? Would you just put it on a pan?
Love bacon. Well, no, yeah, there's a couple different ways. You can do it in the oven, which is the less sloppy way to do it. You do it in a frying pan. Then it starts to splatter everywhere, though.
Love bacon.
I can't believe you just admitted that you don't know how to cook bacon.
I've never made bacon. I'd like to try.
I think you could do it.
I think I could. I can make, I mean, it's shocking, beautiful eggs, gorgeous omelet.
Well, you know, that's the sign of a great chef. How you can make an egg.
Yeah, I make a beautiful egg, but I've
you know
never...
You do too. Once you make the bacon, Dave, you save the bacon fat. Now you cook your eggs in some bacon fat.
Yeah, it's unhealthy. We're not looking
delicious.
To live that kind of lifestyle.
Oh, Cassie
here.
Makes this meatloaf where she sautés the onions in the bacon fat and then throws it in... Oh.
Sounds healthy. Sounds good for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Lawrence Tynes was on ESPN Radio, and you've heard a lot of this is not an attractive job. He disagrees. He thinks the Giants are a very attractive landing spot.
In terms of the culture, you know, listen, I love the New York Giants, obviously, for a lot of reasons. And I think that, you know, you just got to get the right people in there. And I think they got to go outside the building, not saying the people in the building are bad people. But I think a fresh set of eyes coming to New York, everybody wants to come to New York and have success and do well. So I think it's an attractive job for a lot of reasons.
And here's, Rick, why I think you should have optimism, because they're not going to do what they seem to have done in the past, where it's you don't line up the head coach and the GM. You know that that's not the issue right now. They're going to hire the GM. They're going to let him make the decision. And from what it sounds like, they are going to do what Lawrence Tynes said and go outside the organization for the GM, give him control, let him make the decisions. That's the first step in admitting that you're really not capable of doing this on your own right now.
It's the biggest step. And I think part of the reason why they're making that decision is Steve Tisch related. Because you're right. I mean, John Mara, with who he's hired, I mean, some of the decisions that have been made, they haven't been good at it. And, you know, how the Giants like to do business hasn't worked. So it's time for a fresh set of eyes. No one, you know, none of these guys will be, you know, the GM's draft picks. There'll be no emotion involved in these decisions. And you have a fresh perspective, and you decide who stays, who goes, what we're doing with the salary cap and everything else. Do we give Daniel Jones another year? All those different things, all those decisions that you have to make. Now, it's whoever you bring in, it should be at least their decision to make. I would say
sounds
the
like
only
it's
going to
be,
make,
though.
Well, here's the thing. The only thing I would say that would make the job a little less attractive is if I knew that the way it's structured right now with, you know, with John and Chris and his son-in-law involved in these decisions, if that was going to be something that was going to continue. I mean, don't forget, I mean, John tried to hire his brother as the GM, and Steve Tisch said, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah, now listen, I could be wrong, but from what it sounds like, it doesn't feel like that's going to be the case. It feels like they're finally at the point where it's like, you know what, we need help. All right, we're not able to do this on our own. We thought we could. It's failed three consecutive times after Tom Coughlin we need a change. And I'm not saying that's definitive, but that's the way, to me, it feels like they're leading into this new search.
Yeah, I would say not being over 500 one time in 5 years and being 22 and 59 is...
That's not good.
...is probably the time.
Right. And think about it. You hired guys that your comfort zone, right? Dave Gettleman was a guy that worked on your staff, and you knew him for years, and that's your comfort zone. He was all-time bad. And Jason Garrett, right? He's a guy, we're comfortable with Jason Garrett. We're going to let him run the offense. That was bad. I mean, every single decision they've made over the last 5 years, almost to a T, has been a bad decision. It's time to move on. It's time to think differently. And it sounds like, and thank God it does, that that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, but you better hope like hell that they stay true to their word. And this is not just, you know, okay, we'll go outside of the organization, but behind closed doors, we're still heavily involved in decision-making. Because for as bad as you think Dave Gettleman is, and he was with the Giants, I mean, this was not just Dave Gettleman.
I get it.
Making these decisions independently.
Listen, I get it. But the bulk of it was Gettleman. They might have said, we want to run it back with Eli. That didn't mean you had to sit there and give the middle finger that we're taking Barkley, and I don't care if we get five first-round picks for him. Like, that Gettleman was dreadful.
Oh, he's selling the decision that was made. He's going to sell it. This is why we did it.
But you know what? You could have traded back. You could have stockpiled picks. You could have taken Quentin Nelson. There were other ways to go about it.
I don't disagree with you. And at the time, this wasn't even being Monday morning quarterback. At the time, we said that you shouldn't. That's not something that you should do. But he did it, and it was touched by the hand of God and everything else. And it didn't work out. I mean, Barkley was supposed to be like that finishing piece. You know, we fix the offensive line. We give Nate Solder all this money, and then we draft this generational talent at that position, and I pair him with Odell Beckham Jr., and we ride with Eli. And he's the, you know, we got the triplets. We got Eli, we got Saquon, and we got Odell. And now we'll try to win. It didn't work.
Nope. Just the opposite. It didn't work. It was a disaster. And you know what's amazing about Gettleman? I know we've talked about this so much, and it's got to be the first thing that the new GM fixes. To have an offensive line this bad for this long, with actually like trying to fix it, it's remarkable is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, with some of these teams and how quickly some of these teams are able to turn around their offensive lines.
Look at Kansas City.
Look at the Jets offensive line. And that was without their left tackle.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they drafted Vera Tucker, right? They brought in Morgan Moses. They brought in Fant, McGovern. All of a sudden, the Jets offensive line, listen, it's not great, but at least it's not the
laughing stock. You could run plays. You could actually run NFL plays with
that's
our
right.
with our
your quarterback is not running for his life every single play.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work to be done, but again, outside of the, you know, I mean, the cap issues is something that they'll have to figure out. But you got premium first round picks, premium first round picks, and there is some talent. I don't know how much talent, just because it's been so poorly coached. But I mean, we'll see. And it's the Giants, man. It's the Giants. And if you're telling me that if I am a guy who thinks I'm great at what I do and I'm going to have the ability to really run this thing, and it's New York, I mean, give me that job. Give me that challenge.
There's still got to be something attractive about this job. DiPietro Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We're like 2 minutes away from Stump Rothenberg. Let's go to Ryan in Queens, though, first. Ryan, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, fellas. Hey, Dave, what's your dream GM coach tandem for this team?
I'm intrigued by a lot of guys. My dream GM coach tandem. I like
that's a tough question. That's a tough question.
It is, and I don't think it's necessarily fair, because I think there's more than one, but I like Schoen and Dable. I'm very intrigued by that. What's the guy's name in Baltimore? Is it Horitz?
But Dave, Leslie Frazier at least has head coaching experience too.
He does. I don't think it's a sexy hire, but I don't need sexy.
You don't need sexy.
No.
No, this isn't. You don't want this to be a lust hire.
No, no, no.
You want this to be a forever hire.
I want this to be, you know what, we can, you know, be in our robes and just have dinner and enjoy
just talk.
Each other's company.
Yeah, just talk.
Right? We can watch a movie. We can get frisky. We can do. We have a lifetime together.
Yeah, because we're friends first, right? That's what it's about. We're friends first, and then all that other stuff is just the icing on top. You can't have too much icing, Dave. You can't.
See, I don't know that I agree with that.
No, you can't have too much icing. You gotta have a solid. You gotta have the cake first.
Well, you need the cake, but you can have too much icing.
I said that's not what I meant. You can't have too much icing.
Oh, yes.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
I said that wrong.
Okay. You got tripped up there by yourself.
There is such thing as too much icing.
Yes, oh, I totally agree with that. Yeah. See, you and I agreed without even you saying the right thing.
Exactly. You knew where my mind was going.
Well, I didn't care where your mind was going. I thought it was a dumb statement to make. Because you can, in fact, have too much icing.
Yeah, I don't even love the icing. I like the give me the cake.
What's your go-to cake? A Carvel ice cream cake, it's still a wonderful treat.
Ice cream cake all day, every day, but if I'm going like legitimate just cake.
How about cream pie?
I love banana cream pie. Oh, I love banana cream pie. If I'm going cake, I'm probably going carrot cake.
Really?
I love the carrot cake.
I love carrot cake too, but that surprises me.
And I love the red velvet cake. Red velvet was my wedding cake.
Doesn't surprise me.
How do you not like the cream cheese frosting on a perfectly done carrot cake?
Love carrot cake. All right. It is now time to play the game that has really swept the country, and that is Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I want to be a college professor.
He's arrogant.
I'm the talent.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You'd like his book. You should read his book.
I don't read.
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
Uh-oh. All right, Stump Rothenberg is always brought to you by Jackpocket. 1-800-919-3776. I know Rick has his question ready to go. I know RJ has his rapid fire. Where'd they go to college? And you guys, the lines are open. 1-800-919-3776. We start out like we always start, and that is Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, guys. You know, Dave, Jets broadcaster Bob Wischusen was sitting in for you a couple months ago. I posed this question to him. He got it wrong. I bring it back because it is topical.
Okay.
Today's question is, Hall of Famer Don Maynard died earlier this week. He's one of two Jets to wear the number 13. Can you name the other?
Is it Dave Jennings? I think it's Dave Jennings, who played for the Jets and the Giants. And that's my final answer.
That's a layup for you. Damn.
It just goes to show you the disparity. The disparity, really. That's what essentially you were trying to do for Dave. And I appreciate that. That's a good friend.
What, a layup?
It wasn't a layup. For you, it was a layup. What he just did was highlight the gap, the chasm, if you will, between you and everyone that sits in your seat trying to do Stump Rothenberg on a Wednesday.
See, I find that to be interesting, and I find that to be surprising. Because Dave Jennings, I mean, I remember distinctly he wore 13, and he played for the Jets. So I know he wore 13 for the Giants. Yeah, that's surprising me. I would think Bob would know that. I bet you Donnie would know that.
Not only did you know it, I mean, it was, for you, it was a layup.
How about this, by the way? I'm being asked to go on every ESPN show right now.
Well, you're the resident Giant fan.
KJM has asked me to go on right at the top of the 8 o'clock hour.
And you say no?
I did not say no. Greeny has asked me to go on at 10:20 this morning. I got a nap at some point, though.
Well, you can't say no to Greeny.
No?
No, no. You know, he's friend of, you can't say no to Greeny, no.
All right.
It's Mike Greenberg, man.
I'm a big star, you know.
I guess I'll be on every show. Well,
there are two people at ESPN right now, probably three, that you don't say no to. On-air personalities.
Stephen A.
Stephen A. Don't say
Scott
no
to. Scott Van Pelt.
The puck is black! What?
And Greeny.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Ray Ray in the Bronx. Ray Ray, you're on Stump Rock.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I have an interesting one, a Jeopardy question. What was the starting lineup? And without looking or cheating, was the 86 Yankees lineup.
You want the entire 86 Yankees lineup?
Well, give me the rest of them. I mean, give it a shot. Give it a shot, guys. Come on. That's all right.
All right. So that's Mattingly's on that team. Randolph's on that team.
Yeah.
Mike Pagliarulo's on that team. I mean, how many? Winfield, I believe, is on that team. I think that's not the year Winfield and Mattingly went toe-to-toe. Mike Easler was on that team.
Like one or two.
Yeah. What'd you say?
You're missing 102, but go ahead. What do you got? You didn't cover the whole field.
Oh my God, he's very aggressive with this. So I give you Mattingly. Randolph was at second. Was Wayne Tolleson at short on that team? Mike Pagliarulo. Okay. Ricky Henderson was in center.
Okay.
Winfield, right. I believe, was in right. I haven't done decent work here. What more are you looking for?
No. You're good. That's good. Yeah, I agree, and you did get it all pretty good, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's by the way, RJ, and thanks to Gold. That's on you.
Listen,
RJ, that's a terrible for you to allow him on to just start naming some Yankees from the 86 lineup. That's a bad job by you.
Here is what I said to that nice man. I said, that's a big ask. I think we need to tone it down a little bit. But he, as you heard, was very insistent about every single one.
And it's like, well, how will I know that I did well? I don't know. Just start naming them, and we'll figure that out at the end.
Yeah.
That's on you, RJ.
All things considered, you did pretty well.
I think you did well.
It's not the point. The point is, RJ did not do a great job there.
And that's fair. I thought we were on the same page. We weren't. See, I'm not going to pull the coach's line of, listen, it's on me. No, I thought we had an agreement. He went rogue, and, you know, things happened.
Let's go to John in Hillsboro.
This is why you made your bet. I don't feel bad for you. You team up with Dave, stuff like this is going to happen.
John in Hillsboro, you're on Stump Rothenberg, John.
Who is the only player in NFL history in the Super Bowl era to play for 14 seasons in three different decades to represent the three teams played for in a total of five Super Bowls, to have two Super Bowl rings, never to play college football, and never to fumble?
That's a lot to ask.
There's been some bad questions. This may take the cake.
I mean, I don't know that I can even comprehend everything he just said.
I've written book reports that were less words than that question.
Super Bowl ring.
Never played. What do you say? Never played football? I have no idea.
How can he never played? He never college played college football.
He said
never
college
played college football.
And then there was a lot of other things that went along with it, right? He played on three teams. He played in five Super Bowls. It's not Charles Haley.
You know that the New York Giants scored 30-plus points in one game in Joe Judge's tenure as coach?
That sounds right. Is this guy still on the line, RJ, by the way?
Oh, I think we lost him.
We did.
Oh, the boop. Do you get the boop?
So we'll never even, I heard something. So we'll never even have the answer to this.
Well, I'm going to go look at the Google, see if I can find anything for you. But that's a lot to ask. I'm going to tell you.
I don't have the answer to that. That seems outrageous. I got to be honest. RJ's not very good at this.
Wow.
Is that wrong?
Holy moly.
Am I wrong? He lets terrible questions.
He's supposed
in.
To be your teammate. That's all I'm saying. RJ, you did this to yourself. You picked your side.
Listen, you're only as good as what you have to choose from.
You know what, RJ? I see the phone lines are all lit up, and then let's be honest, you've done less than stellar. Doesn't mean I don't love you, but I have to call you out for the job or lack thereof that you've done today. It's fine. Rick, do you have a question?
I do. My question's actually supposed to put you in a good mood.
Okay.
All right, so I want you to tell me how many wild card teams have won the Super Bowl, and I want you to tell me the last three wild card teams to win the Super Bowl. So I want total and last three.
Well, the Raiders, I believe, were the first.
That's correct.
The Ravens. The Steelers. The Giants. The Packers. Is there more?
You are missing. Yep.
I think there's 10. Maybe there's. I think there's 10 that have gone and 6 that have done it. How many did I name for you?
You've named 5.
And I didn't give you the last 3, is that correct?
No, you have not given me the last 3. And also, remember, you got to think recent, though, too.
Oh, the Bucks,
Tampa Bay last year.
Yeah, because New Orleans was that division winner. So the Bucks, the Packers, and the Giants, no?
Yes, that's the last three.
Yeah.
You're still missing one.
I'm missing one that has the Steelers?
You told me the Steelers already.
Okay. And I said the Ravens.
You said the Ravens.
Now, the Titans went, but they didn't win. The Broncos in 97?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
97 Broncos, my man.
Okay. All right, so that's a decent question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's and plus you can throw the Giants in, winning their Super Bowl. I was trying to put you in a good mood.
Apparently, Raymond did some reconnaissance, I believe is the word, yes?
He did, yeah.
And Preston Pearson is the answer on what was a tragic question. Here's what we're going to do. RJ has his little barrage of where they go to college, but Kevin in the car would first like to ask, where did this player go to college? Kevin, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, good morning, guys. Quick college question for you. Where did Miles Austin attend college?
Monmouth.
Look at you. Good job.
Thank you. Santi, you knew that. There's no way Santiago didn't know that.
I think most people knew that.
You think most people knew that Miles Austin went to Monmouth?
Miles Austin was a pretty popular player 10 years ago. So
I would, and
he's local, and I believe he's the receivers coach of the Jets now. So.
RJ, did you know that Miles Austin went to Monmouth?
I did, but only when I moved here. It was not a thing I was super aware of.
All right, now you have your little barrage of where did this guy go to college?
Yes, we will overlook your words of anger towards
you,
me.
You honestly, truly believe that you did yeoman's work when it comes to where did screening some of these questions?
I think sometimes the questions don't stand up above the rest, and listen, you got to put some through.
Go ahead. What do you got?
The volume was there. We need more quality.
Make up for your shortcomings.
All right.
And that's not a joke.
Oh. That's not nice.
This is your teammate. This is who you chose.
Yep. All right. Del Curry.
Virginia Tech.
That is correct. How about Al Toon?
Wisconsin.
That is also correct. How about John Sally?
Georgia Tech.
We're bringing the Tech today. Nice work. Andre Rison.
Michigan State.
Correct. And finally, one of the great names in sports, Muggsy Bogues.
Tyrone went to Wake Forest.
And you gave me his name. Well done.
And this is what we do. I mean, Rick, do you see what just happened there?
I do. That is well done.
How proud are you at the moment?
I couldn't. Listen, Dave. I mean, you know how I feel about Stump Rothenberg. When you do as well as you did today, makes my entire Wednesday.
That's as good as it gets.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.